Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
The Legion of Boom is going bust. Have you heard the moves?
No.
Michael Bennett traded to the Philadelphia Eagles for a fifth-round pick. Gone. Richard Sherman, who is his own agent, I've been told, is telling everyone in the Seahawks organization he expects to be gone, saying his goodbyes right now. Cliff Avril likely gone. Cam Chancellor likely gone. Earl Thomas likely gone. That's it. The dirty, rainy city bitch pigeons are going down. Love it. They can take their one trophy and look at it. Dynasty. One trophy.
So this changes things a bit, doesn't it?
Yes.
But they haven't been as good. I won't say they're not good, but they haven't been as good for two seasons. They peaked, and they've been on the backside of that for a while.
Well, they won a Super Bowl with a lot of young players coming up on their first deal, and they felt like, well, we've got to pay these guys. And you know what? I'm starting to think you don't have to pay nobody. You could theoretically never pay any of your own players, except for like a quarterback who's really important. You don't have to pay these guys second deals. Because how much production did they get out of Sherman after he signed his big deal? Same thing for Bennett. Same thing for Thomas and Chancellor. You could argue that it was not really that productive of a use of money. Just keep going younger and younger. You have control of a rookie player for 4 years minimum. Five if they were a first rounder. And even more if you want to hit him with a franchise tag for at least a year.
Is that what they're doing?
It's not a trend yet. It might start becoming one, though. Okay.
Well, if the Seahawks have success after letting these guys go, that'll be a trend.
But they did pay these guys, and now they're a bit cap hamstrung. And truthfully, these guys also weren't contributing that much because they were hurt.
Okay.
Football is a injury riddled game, so that requires watching. If Bennett's any good, which he wasn't that good last year, it makes the Eagles' pass rush on paper ridiculous. So that's not good for my neighborhood. We play those sons of guns twice a year. So I'm not real happy about that. And speaking of Bennett, because he was one of the famous kneelers and protesters, that story continues to regurgitate. We thought we were over the anthem stuff, right? Didn't we think we were finally like, okay,
it's over now? Yeah, because Colin Kaepernick had said, I'll play for team and –
It was a year ago at this time, he said, next year, whoever I sign with, I'm going to stand for the anthem.
What team was it yesterday? I saw it online and said the team will stand. It's like, okay, here's the deal.
Miami. Owner, Stephen Ross, said next year all of our players will stand for the anthem because they had about four or five guys that would kneel. That instantly created a backlash saying, oh, yeah? How dare you say that? How do you know? You don't know all the players who will be on your team. You can't take away their right to protest.
Now, just to be clear.
So we're back to the same square one.
Hold on a second. Just to be clear, what are we kneeling about now anyway? I'm not really sure anymore.
I'm not even getting into that because that gets to be a very contentious thing.
Right.
You're not wrong for asking.
I just like to know, what is your protest?
Social injustice.
Okay, that's kind of a
Is that broad enough for you?
Yeah, that's a broad brush.
Well, there you go. That's what they're kneeling for, social justice. And if you dare question it, then you will get attacked, especially online. So I would like to see it more specific. I'd like to see more of a targeted thing. Certain guys like Malcolm Jenkins of the Eagles, he stopped his protest because he got in business with the league to get some money to go put out in the community and do some good things with certain groups and organizations. And that's fine. But then half the other kneelers called Malcolm Jenkins a sellout. You're just taking money from the man now. So Stephen Ross had to walk that back, saying he was taken out of context, and the media got their hackles all up about that. And then the Texans allegedly were not interested this free agency period in any of the players who had been kneeling before. So said a report. That caused an instant backlash. So the question I ask you guys is when will we ever put this thing to bed?
Well, social justice or injustice, whichever you want to call it, is so broad that you don't ever have to.
and it's doing like, good.
Ain't got no end.
Ain't got no end, right? So I guess the answer is now never. But the NBA doesn't have to deal with any of this stuff because they wrote it in their bylaws. You will stand for the anthem. That's a collectively bargained thing. So we'll see if the NFL tries to make a move for that. My suggestion was to take the players out of the equation.
Yeah.
And to hold the anthem not when they're on the field, like when they're in their locker room for their final.
They tried that in Pittsburgh.
Preparation.
Didn't they?
Well, they tried that, but it garnered more attention. Once upon a time, they didn't do the anthem when the players were out there. And then they started doing that. Now, a lot of people, if they were to tell, you know, stadium ops, we don't want the anthem played when the players are out there, possibly to make a demonstration, they would consider that a retreat. They would consider that defeat of sorts, right? Like, oh, we can't even have the anthem without the players out there. We're going to go hide them in the locker room. I'm not very proud of them for that. But I think the anthem should be for those in attendance who want to take that moment and want to show their appreciation for America.
Forget about free agents for a minute. Aren't the Panthers for sale?
Yeah.
Do we have any buyers yet? That's kind of been a quiet topic.
How much money do you have?
Well, how much?
Now that Brad paid me back my five, got a few thousand Jamaican dollars, and yeah. So the anthem stuff continues to go on. Jarrah bent the knee yesterday. Did you see that?
No.
Jerry Jones paid the NFL $2 million as reimbursement for legal fees in their spat between the Zeke Elliott suspension and the whole run at Goodell and his new contract. He quietly paid the $2 million to settle that whole thing. $2 million in legal fees.
Right.
There was no court case. The Zeke Elliott case was mostly Zeke and mostly the Players Association, with Jerry just supporting him from a distance. How do you run up $2 million in legal bills? Jerry wrote a letter saying, hey, we need to slow down on Goodell's new contract.
That's a good question. Jerry's got expensive lawyers, or the league has expensive lawyers.
I guess so. I'd love to see the invoices. I just would love to see what they charge to get to $2 million.
I'd like to see what he got for his $2 million. Let's see the exchanges. Let's see the paperwork. Show me the correspondence or the time on the phone or the luncheons or whatever.
For $2 million, yeah. If Jerry could have seen this is how it would have ended, he would have been better off taking out ads, full-page ads, in every major newspaper with Goodell wearing the clown nose, like in that Barstool Sports t-shirt, you know, or to fly airplanes with banners all over stadiums saying Goodell is an idiot
but
or
Brian,
a fool.
Brian did the math on Jerry's worth. It's like $5 point something billion.
Oh, yeah, this is nothing.
And the $2 million comes out to a tank of gas.
Yeah, that's what we figured, right? Yeah. It was like $40 for someone making $50,000.
But the point is, he ended up bending the knee. He bent the knee like in Game of Thrones. He finally succumbed. So all that breathless talk about this could be it for Goodell. Ooh, Jerry is the shadow commissioner. He's more powerful than, you know, anybody else. No, not so much. In the end, the Shield wins again.
I can't believe he couldn't rally enough support to at least have some sort of uprising. Like in Beijing, when you know, when there was the Tiananmen Square thing.
Yeah.
The other, and tanks came rolling through.
How many people got behind the person that stood in front of the tank?
I just remember that
right,
dude.
There was just one.
Yeah, standing, yeah.
And that was Jerry. Jerry was trying to convince his fellow billionaire owners, come on,
Yeah. Let's
get rid of this dummy, get somebody better. And they're like, yeah, you know, Jerry, we share your concerns. So,
except the tank rolled over him.
Yeah, right, exactly. So Jerry runs out there. He's like, all right, we're going to stop this thing from going. And he turns around. He's like, where's all my other owners?
Yeah.
Not there.